Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are still going through marketing, and as I told you, I think it was last week, that we're going to get into a few interviews. The first one I told you about was the Dr. Vile interview. I also want to kind of resurrect or bring back, now that it's kind of Easter time and we should be thinking about those types of things, but I want to resurface a really important interview I did with Aaron Tilbury regarding child sex trafficking and so forth, and how insidious this practice or this activity is in our society. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw that in the mix next week as well, because it looks like I'm not going to be able to get to them this week. So with that, I'm just giving you fair warning, we will have some really juicy content and interviews, especially with the good doctor. The doctor, Dr. Vile, he's a good man. He understands the Constitution, but he, like anybody else that I know, is in the mode of self-preservation in trying to maintain his market space, his livelihood, and so forth. So anyway, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org as well as ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And you are listening to the only show that's going to go through the academic evidence as, not just the solution, but what we're going to do today is I'm going to give you the academic evidence that the sovereign citizen movement, the titles and all of these concepts that people are getting people to, go down the path of becoming a sovereign citizen and getting out of from underneath the United States government. They are incorrect in what they're doing, because what they're doing is they're believing and accepting an inappropriate or actually an illegal label. Just because somebody comes along and calls you something that you're not, whatever your race is, whatever is the opposite of that, whatever your gender is, the opposite of that. Just because they call you something or label you as something, and even if they document it and they claim it legal, it is not legal. And we'll get into that before we dive into the marketing. And that's because there are more and more people that are, because of the Trump effect going away and the Biden effect coming in, people are saying, wow, yeah, this is what I got to do. I got to check out. I got to get out from underneath the system. Well, that system is a house of cards. There's no legitimacy to it. Anyway, as we move forward, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. You're more than welcome to dial it and call us at any time at your convenience when something, you're thinking about something and this doesn't make sense. Why is GR proposing this or that or what have you? You've got a question, comment, 425-270-5416. I did talk to Bob in detail, and he will be doing a petition, and we'll go down that path. But whether that goes to a law case or what have you, as a matter of fact, what I'm going to be doing in the Constitutional Minute this week, because I haven't done it yet, is I'm going to make an appeal to the state legislators that if they don't make the time, if they don't make it a priority, we're going to be dealing with a huge problem. And unringing the bell, which will be a requirement, is going to be huge. Because just because the government does something illegitimately doesn't make it legitimate. Oh, well, we did it, and it's now in the books, and we've given this. And I'm going to tell you, have you ever dealt with a person that received, an allotment or something that they've been getting, and then all of a sudden they can't have it anymore because they realize that the giving of that thing to that person was illegal, wasn't done. They're not supposed to be getting that. Well, all of a sudden they scream like a banshee and, you know, demand that you give them what they've been getting when they shouldn't have been getting it in the first place. Well, that's what we're going to be dealing with when we have to undo this amnesty, because the federal government does not have the power to grant amnesty, especially when they're violating their oath of office regarding an invasion. You don't get away with creating an, you know, legitimizing an invasion by granting somebody amnesty. What you have to do is you have to deal with that, and they can't sweep this under the rug. So this is why we're going to do this petition. But what we want you to do when we get this petition out and ready, we need you to actually go to your state legislators and, oh, by the way, if you have their email address, all of their email addresses, you demand that. Actually, you may want to start now in planning a protest at your state capitol and demand that they get involved in this very specific petition, because it may be a myopic issue. But what this does is it should be waking up the state legislators that they have far more power to be able to inject in what the federal government is doing. I mean, the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions were very focused on the Alien and Sedition Acts. This Amnesty Act is something that they need to actually step into and say, you can't do this. You're supposed to be protecting us from an invasion, not legitimizing it. So this is why this is so important that you get a lot of people. You need to start actually networking, folks. You need to start connecting with people in your county, people in the party, people in the militia, and get everybody attuned to this. This is on you, America. GR can't do this by himself. And the solution isn't us, we the people. The solution is our sovereigns, the state legislatures. We the people of the several states, as Madison put it, who are the parties to the compact? We the people? No, it's we the people of the sovereign states. We've got to get that paradigm so that we can start focusing our effort to where it really needs to be in getting those people, them there in that state legislature over there, we got to get them to take a stand for us, because that's why we elect them. That's why they take an oath to support the Constitution. As you know, Red Pill Expo will be held in Rapid City, South Dakota on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And if you go to Red Pill Expo, it's Red Pill Expo. If you just Google Red Pill Expo or DuckDuckGo or whatever your favorite search engine is, then you can find the details and actually go sign up and find out who's speaking and so forth, and start looking at the available hotels and all of that. Now, they may be offering a package where you get a room, you know, at a local hotel. I don't know if Ed's doing that. I know that when he was in Spokane, they did have a kind of a deal for those who were attending, because there was a, I think it was the Davenport that they were staying at, that was kind of directly connected to the convention center and so forth. Anyway, I had a great meeting with the small crew of people that were responsible for committing a coup, or successfully pulling off a coup of the county Republican Party. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that even though they may have been successful, I've told them last night that you may have succeeded in taking back the party at the county level, but you will not. Even if you get plenty of counties to vote the right people in for the state is already locked up by the RNC, that the National Committee for the Republican Party has its hooks in the state of Washington, as well as many of the other blue-purple states, even kind of the light red states. You have to start looking, and you have to start reaching over and working with the Constitution Party. And I know that seems antithetical. I know that the Constitution Party, you know, wants you just to come over. But bottom line, if you can't get the electorate, if you can't get the electorate in 2 years to transition over to the Constitution Party, then the best thing you can do is work with the Constitution Party in understanding the Constitution, getting people in there to help teach people of the party and offer this training to the electorate. Put these links of our videos up so that people can start understanding the Constitution and why it's important to vote for constitutional candidates. It's a win for America when we start electing people who understand their duty in supporting the Constitution. And so I completely understand why there's going to be some places that you're not, like blue states, you're not just going to be able to convert the party itself, but you might be able to take it over. But more importantly, you need to be working with the Constitution Party in the vetting process and making sure that your candidates are going to serve you by actually serving the Constitution and supporting it and protecting it and defending it. I tell you, when you find a candidate, a politician who is willing to support your agenda by bringing in jobs and doing things that they have no business doing, then you're working with somebody that is not an agent and or a champion for liberty. That's why the only champions for liberty support the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I just want to be clear here. This is why it is so important for the Constitution Party to get their platform right, to get their bylaws right, because as you take over, if you go down this path and you can actually take over your county party, it's going to take a while for people to realize that if you look at the party, even though you may have controls at the local level, you have no controls at the national level. And you will understand that the Republican Party at the national level will be supporting the globalist agenda, period. End of story. There's no way they're going to get out from underneath the grasp of mammon. They are serving mammon. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And that's how it's going to be. So, what you have to do is you have to start educating people. This is why it's really important for everybody to understand, as you've, you know, converted, if you've actually been able to do this coup, then you need to start teaching them that the Constitution at every level must be complied to. And this is why it makes it easier to actually convert or actually, you know, operate as a facade until people realize that you're really a part of the Constitution Party. You move over, boom, you've just become an integrated part of the Constitution Party. Because the Constitution Party should have zero agendas. They shouldn't be trying to support legislation that will be in violation of the Constitution. They should be strictly supporting those things that are constitutional. And I believe that they do, and I believe that they just need to clean up how that is articulated so that that is a very succinct and clear message so that the voters understand, if I want my liberty preserved, if I want to keep my rights that are guaranteed under this Constitution, I have to support the Constitution as well. And the only party to do that is the Constitution Party. Now, again, I look at the people at the county level that are involved in the party, and I believe their hearts and minds are in the right spot. The only problem is that they don't understand what they're doing. This is why, and this is how successful it is when you get the militia and those minded people, the 3%ers, involved in the party. You can actually change the direction and help move the county in the direction it needs to go. I can tell you that there are all sorts of bad players in the county that I was talking about that actually pulled off this, and I'm not talking about the people in the party, the county, the prosecutor, the sheriff. I mean, there are lots of problems with those who are wearing the Republican label that are the good old boys in that county. And so they've got a lot of work ahead, but I think that they accomplished a huge thing by getting a full takeover by those who support the Constitution. Now, whether the chair and everybody else has their hearts in that spot, this is why you have to recognize that there are these loyalists that will still try to maintain that label. This is why you have to get people to have the epiphany that they can no longer support Republican Party agendas. Can't do it. You just can't. Because it is at the expense of our liberty, period. And I don't have to prove it. They prove it all the time for us. Now let me get into, before we get into marketing, because there has been a lot of comments and talk and so forth, the chatter in the background that you don't probably see on Moby Strip Press, on Facebook and so forth. But there is a growing movement, and it is a dangerous movement. Two of the movements, and I'll talk about real quickly, is the Committees of Safety. The committees, if you look, anybody that talks to you about the Committees of Safety, we've got to resurrect these things. This is our future in saving America. You're absolutely incorrect. Because the Committees of Safety is basically a dismantling and an undermining of our constitutional framework that is actually legitimate. We have a representative government. The problem is that representative government has been perverted. And the only way that we can clean up our representative government at the state, county, at all levels is through Republic Review, period. In auditing the Constitution and clarifying and getting all government into compliance with the Constitution, that solves our problem. You don't start supporting a concept of creating a new representative government. That is going down the path of treason when we start trying to create a all new government. Now, we do have an inalienable right, as I tell you, to cast off this government. But the Constitution has given us every tool necessary to save this God-given government that we have. that why don't we use what God gave us instead of trying to build it up on our own again? That is, we don't even have the time to do that. It is a path of no return. And so there are these other people that got the committees of safety put aside. There's these other people that are getting people to understand, and they're buying into an illegitimacy of citizenship, that they're getting people to actually say, you've got to renounce everything that you're doing as a U.S. citizen and become a sovereign citizen. That is a dangerous road as well. There's many of people out there that talk about how the government violated all of these things. So we're going to kind of go through this today, but let me put this into perspective for you. Let's say you're a homeowner. Let's say, you know, you at least own a car, and you own that car. It's your title. You don't owe the bank on it anymore. It is absolutely your title. You know as well as I do that the advertisements are going on everywhere regarding title theft. Now, why is it that you would be accountable for title theft when you don't put your title out on the internet? Are you the one that's advertising and saying, it's like leaving your keys in the car with the windows down and unlocked? I mean, do you actually have a legitimate complaint that somebody stole your car when you left them the keys? Well, actually, if they don't have your permission, technically it's theft. But you have it coming to you when somebody steals that because you've left them all the access. And then you actually have to go through the process of, you know, working with the police, working with the insurance company, or what have you. Bottom line, though, they can't steal that car, or at least your ownership from it. It makes it really hard. So in other words, they may take your car. They may cut it up. They may put it out for parts. But they can't sell it as a legitimate car with a state title unless they've stolen that title as well. And so the fact of the matter is when somebody steals your home title, it has nothing to do with you. And therefore, the institution that puts the titles out on the internet and makes titles available, whether that be the title company, the county, or government, or anything like that, they need to be held accountable because they've basically put your property at risk. You're not doing this. It's not like you have your own domain and your own web page, and here's the title to my house. Neener, neener, neener. You can't lose your house because somebody else has made it available to someone. And so they have to actually, your state legislatures need to actually create a barrier in a law that says any bank that creates a loan for and gives money to somebody for your home, for a home period, and the bank doesn't do the due diligence to ensure that that physical property does not belong to anybody else, you may want to check the post records of whether who owned the title before that, who owned the title before that, and actually do the due diligence. Then, because, you know, the banks want to make these big loans because they're making interest rates and they get their interest rates up front. There's a lot of money in it. Well, okay, but we have to incentivize the banks to protect themselves, because bottom line, if the bank creates a loan based on fraud, then they're the ones that are left holding the bag. It's just like our debt, our national debt, as I was saying just the other day. When the Federal Reserve and the Treasury creates a debt for other countries to buy, and they're doing this on obtaining money to do things that they have no constitutional power to do, then, my friends, that is a fraudulent debt. And those who are loaning that money, like the banks, they're equally culpable if they don't do the due diligence. And as a matter of fact, as far as your title goes, you had nothing to do with these transactions. So you have no responsibility. And so when somebody comes to say, hey, we're foreclosing on your home and we're kicking you out, the law of that state should state that nobody can do that until they have proven that the title, that the loan and everything that they have is actually tied to you. So, if, in other words, if they've been duped, they're the ones left holding the bag. They cannot kick you out of your home. They, and your state legislatures can easily protect you. Why aren't they doing this, though? Oh, well, see, there's this lobbyist company over here that makes a lot of money in you buying insurance to protect your home title. Well, hey, you know, they have money to throw around, and what they're doing is they're basically protecting this market space and by making money. This is why they don't want these laws to be created, because then they don't have a market space anymore. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get into the 13th Amendment, where this whole citizen title and the citizen movement kind of begins. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so there's this thing called the 13th Amendment that was passed in the early 1800s. If I remember, and we'll get into it, I believe it was around 1818, under the Monroe administration. Anyway. What we're going to do is we're going to actually read the 13th Amendment for you so that you can understand what this amendment does and what it does not do. Okay, so whether this amendment exists or not, there is no open door for the federal government to do anything and everything that they want. What this amendment does is it keeps people, such as lawyers, from being able to hold public office. And if you understand the Bar Association and its tie to Britain, you'll understand that the lawyers, in taking their oath to the Bar and the Bar Association itself, you'll understand that based on the 13th Amendment, they're not supposed to be able to hold office. Now, here's what we want you to actually consider before I read this. Just think about how it would be if this amendment didn't exist, and or if this amendment does exist. In other words, what does it really change? Does it change the foundation of the Constitution, that the states are the supreme authority? No. Okay, so this is the quote the, actually, what we're going to do, yeah, this is the 13th Amendment, because I was also told you we're going to get into the citizenship, but this is not the oath of citizenship. If any, again, quote, if any of the United States shall accept, any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension office, they're listing these things, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. So what this does is just identifies that anybody that really is a bar member can't, they lose their citizenship and they can't hold office. So what does that do? Well, that actually kind of cleans up our society somewhat, because now these lawyers who may be defending you in court or what have you, they can't be a citizen, and it basically kind of creates an outcast. Now, you got to understand that the Bar Association didn't really exist at this point in time, and almost anybody could be a lawyer. They could defend themselves. As a matter of fact, when you kind of look at how things were done, the judges were, you know, a lot of times the teacher of, you know, those people who were making claims that going down this path of trying to, you know, undo a wrong that had befallen them. So you did, back in those days, our legal system was actually pretty simple and straightforward. Anyway, this does not, as you notice, there is nowhere in here where this actually subjugates the states or gives power to the federal government to do anything. So when people point to the 13th Amendment that it was, you know, the first real problem, all it did was it changed the, and I'll just say it, it changed the position of these lawyers that became a part of the bar. Okay, that's it. And on March 12th, yeah, here it is. On March 12th, 1819, the state of Virginia, with the enactment and publication of the laws of Virginia, became the 13th and final state required to ratify the above article amendment. And so, if you go down this path of understanding that how this became the law of the land, with the enactment of, and this was the number of it, 280 on March 12, 1890, which was voted in block and publication of the revised code, the state of Virginia notified the Department of State, the Congress, and the Library of Congress, and the president of their action by issuing to each copy of the laws of Virginia. In fact, this is in their journal on pages 5, 11 through 12, that shows that that amendment was properly enrolled and ratified on that date that they sent forward. So again, if you really look at this amendment, all it does is it identifies a very set class of people, and it basically identifies that they can't be citizens, nor can they, you know, hold public office. Okay, so let me ask you something. How well do you understand bills of attainder? A bill of attainder is creating a law that identifies a class of people. Now, again, the Bar Association did not exist. And you have to understand that when it went down this path of creating this, the bar, and actually pulling all the lawyers and all of our court system into this, I'll just say, this agreement, or actually, when a lawyer takes the oath to the bar in supporting the bar, they are virtually violating their oath of office, or I should say their oath of citizenship. And then when they become a public servant, they're violating their oath of office because they're placing their loyalty to the bar over the Constitution. So this is where people really have this problem. And I get that. I understand. I acknowledge the fact that most of our problems come from lawyers. However, The 13th Amendment is not the savior of anything, or because what is the harm of having these lawyers in office? Okay, they may not be loyalists, but clearly with the 14th Amendment, Section 3, anybody that violates their oath of office by not supporting the Constitution is to be removed. Okay, so what ended up happening with the 13th Amendment when it was passed? I think the Emancipation Proclamation was 1862, and I think the 13th Amendment was finally ratified in, 1865? The 14th Amendment was ratified just 2-3 years later, that identified that anybody that violates their oath of office is to be removed. So we had, even though they got rid of the 13th Amendment, that we still had this level of protection. This is why, when you look at history, when people talk about those radical Republicans in Congress, the radical Republicans in Congress actually gave us unseen teeth to protect us from even getting rid of the original 13th Amendment. And so, understanding all of this, there is nothing in the 13th Amendment that legitimizes the federal government for violating the Constitution, okay? So when we look at the setting up of corporations after the Civil War and during the Reconstruction period, I think it was like 1871, is when they started creating these corporations. But why did they do this? Is because in the 14th Amendment, Section 4, Section 4 forbade the federal government and the federal government from being responsible for any of the war debt that was incurred by the southern states. In other words, the southern states had to pay this back. And, oh, by the way, they couldn't because their economy was decimated. England came along and says, well, you know what, that's all nice, well, and good, but we have these contracts and you've made this impossible. And there's no doubt in my mind, I don't have any of the dialogue, but there's no doubt in my mind that Britain basically said, we're going to go to war and we're going to come after you for violating this contract. And what they did was they coerced those people in power to start creating corporations and start going down this path of creating a shadow government. So here's the question for you, friends. Show me in the Constitution where the states have delegated the authority to the federal government to actually do that. There's nowhere where, and as a matter of fact, the 14th Amendment, as a divine insight and inspiration, made it illegal for the federal government to actually go down the path of paying for this debt. So they violated the 14th Amendment, as well as they violated the spirit and the enumerated powers of the Constitution by doing something they had no power to do. So as the federal government, or I should say those nefarious players that created this system, and everybody kind of turned their backs, everybody else that was in Congress, because they didn't want this thing to get out that this is going on, they all basically, not all, there were enough people to participate in the subversion of the Constitution. But here's the question. Is it legitimate? Did they have this authority to do this? Clearly today, the federal government is operating with roles, responsibilities, and powers that have never been delegated to it in operating and paying the crown any money on an annual basis regarding this corporation and how they're functioning. If you want to fix this, becoming a sovereign citizen is not the solution. The only solution to fixing this is to first prove that they had no authority, which they didn't. Show me in the Constitution, in the organic Constitution, where they had the authority to do any of this. They didn't. So what they have done is they created, and if you look at the 13th Amendment and getting rid of that, and then, as a house of cards. So the first card that they picked up was getting rid of the 13th Amendment. Then they got all these lawyers to come in and create these corporations. And every little thing that they did, they were stacking cards all unconstitutionally. And they, from that point forward, they started creating this House of Cards by basically pulling states into this corporation's boondoggle and so forth. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so going down this path and, you know, playing with documents, making, you know, some people go down this path of, oh, well, the United States was never a capital U, it was always a little U. Well, it was in the Articles of Confederation and prior, but actually in the U.S. Constitution. And again, what is the difference? But they acknowledge that they created a general government, and that the name of that general government was the United States of America. And so when you look at Madison's references, and when you look at the other framers' references of that government, it was always a capital U. They didn't use a little U. Do you understand? So some of these things that these people get into the minutiae on is, it boggles my mind why these things are so important. When you put it into context, the general government had no power to define anything that it was doing because it had no enumerated power. The states never delegated that power. So, and I use the term going into the break, that here they created this boondoggle. Actually, it wasn't a boondoggle. What they created was this quagmire, this house of cards that was all based on powers that they didn't have. Do I believe that the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment, was a good amendment? Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that the Bar Association needs to sever its ties to the foreign court of England, or I should say the crown, and the bar needs to be completely revived. Do we want to have lawyers that are actually accountable to the Constitution? Do we need lawyers? Absolutely. They had lawyers back in those days. The 13th Amendment is, I see no problem with the 13th Amendment and why it can't be put back. The problem is that most people don't understand that original 13th Amendment didn't grant, they didn't protect themselves from really anything other than the fact that people couldn't have two masters. And in the 14th Amendment,
they understood that by creating this Section 3, it didn't matter even if you had a loyalty to somebody else. Either you support the Constitution or you're gone. The problem is we're not enforcing the law of the land. Moving forward, they created this huge shadow government. They created an annotated constitution. They created things that they had no power to do. The only, and I'm going to just, we're going to end on this right here. The only way we get the federal government back down to the constitutional framework that it's supposed to be operating in is not by you checking out as a sovereign citizen. The only way this will happen is by getting the states to do their job. Those people who are checking out as sovereign citizens have removed themselves from the glorious fight of supporting the Constitution, that thing that guarantees our liberties. These folks that have checked out and they're not getting engaged in what they need to be doing, in other words, they are equally culpable. Remember I said, if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. Therefore, anybody that is a sovereign citizen, anybody that is not supporting Republic Review, is a part of the problem. These guys aren't patriots. As a matter of fact, they're treasonous because they don't recognize the actual U.S. Constitution, which is legitimate. They don't recognize it as legitimate anymore. And I've dealt with many of these folks, these whack jobs, that believe we need to get back to the Articles of Confederation. And I think over the past few weeks, I've been very clear regarding the Articles of Confederation. So moving forward, right, because I want to get into the ideology of the importance of supporting the Constitution, because there are people that are refugees here that are being granted citizenship, and they're taking the oath of citizen. And I could read the whole thing, but I'm not going to. I'm only going to read the very first part of the oath of citizenship. Should we have oaths of citizenship? Yes, and every natural citizen, natural-born citizen of the United States should have to take this oath prior to voting, because then they understand their obligation in supporting the Constitution. Therefore, if they vote and support any subversive activities and or government actions and or government organizations, or I should say, subversive organizations to overthrow the government, like a communist organization, because go back to the McCarthy era, it was illegal to be a communist. We need to take away the citizenship of all of these idiots out there, the useful idiots that are supporting communism and this communist takeover. The oath is, quote, I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potent, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen. Now, when you speak of sovereignty, you speak of whether that be a physical sovereignty or even an imaginary sovereignty, such as Mohammed, because your loyalty as a subject of the citizen is this, been a subject or citizen to Sharia law, so subject to Islam, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So when you become a U.S. citizen, that Constitution isn't your spiritual guide, it is your governmental guide. Here is the problem with Islam. They don't recognize the Constitution as the legal law of the land. They want to get rid of it. Therefore, they're taking this oath is in direct conflict with what they are legally stating and affirming. I want you to understand that. They are lying and not actually becoming citizens. They're maintaining their citizenship and loyalty to that prince, potent, state, or sovereignty that they walked into this country supporting. In other words, they're not renouncing and abjuring their allegiance. They're maintaining their desire to inflict Sharia law and Islam upon the United States, which means that they have engaged in treasonous behavior in trying to, you know, under the guise of being a citizen, to basically become a political combatant to get rid of the Constitution and to inject their form of law. This is why anybody, and I want you to go back, and maybe one day, I'd like to actually have somebody on my show that I met before that talks about citizenship, inhabitants, and so forth. Just because you are not a U.S. citizen and can't vote doesn't mean you can't be an inhabitant, as long as you're not a threat as a political operative, activist, or what have you, to try to overthrow our government. I believe the people that want to live here under the umbrella of liberty should be allowed to stay. But I honestly look at most people that are in Islam, or I should say with the paradigm and the ideology of Islam, they cannot live harmoniously with people with liberty. They want to subjugate them, to follow. I mean, what is it? You convert to Islam or die. That is not Christianity. That is not Hinduism. There are lots of faiths that actually allow people to make their own choices. And there you go. But communists are just like Islamists, just like Mohammedans. They want to force you to do what they believe is best. That's why these two ideologies are so equal. They're parallel to each other. This is how you can actually start understanding the DNA, where these laws and where these ideologies come from. They're not of Christ. They're of Satan. Satan wants to enslave and subjugate mankind. Christ wants to liberate mankind, period. No man can be forced into salvation. No man can be forced into, you know, being blessed for being, you know, charitable. You have to willingly give of yourself, and in so doing, you get blessed. You have to willingly sacrifice. In so doing, you get blessed, right? You can't be forced. And the government that we have of compulsion, enforcing welfare, and enforcing these things has hardened the hearts of America, period. This is why people look at the government as the solution, because it is the most effective in getting people to give. I tell you time and time again that if we would turn our hearts away from this compulsion and back towards being a good, righteous citizenry and nation, we would be able to start taking care of all of those. We would actually start really healing this homeless problem, you know, this lucre, and actually this disease, this viral disease that is destroying us, of people believing that they're entitled to having what you're making to let them exist. We can't start living and working together and uniting under this paradigm of compulsion. So, I have just basically laying out this oath of citizenship, and now what we're going to do in our next episode, because I'm literally out of time, is we're going to go in through the news and give you some good insights as to how incompatible to liberty some of these ideologies are, very specifically Islam. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue.
Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.